alone.
Ratena.
Ratena.
Being seated on the chariot.
Being seated on the chariot.
Tatare. Was able to cross over.
Was able to cross over.
Myself.
Myself.
Atirya.
Atirya.
Invincible.
Invincible.
Sattvam.
Sattvam.
Existence.
Existence.
Prajavritam.
Prajavritam.
Drew back.
Drew back.
Bahu.
Bahu.
Very large quantity.
Very large quantity.
Dhanam. Wealth. Cha.
Also.
Maya.
By me.
Paresham.
Of the enemy.
Teja Padam.
Source of brilliance.
Mani Mayam.
Bedecked with jewels.
Cha.
Also.
Ritam,
taken by force.
Shirobhyaha,
from their heads.
Translation. The military strength of the Kauravas was like an ocean in which there dwelled many invincible existences. That means can't be conquered. And thus, it was insurmountable. It's like insurmountable means like a mountain you can't climb. Okay? Because it's a big word for many of you. But because of his friendship, I, Arjuna speaking, seated on the chariot, was able to cross over it. And only by his grace was I able to regain the cows and also collect by force many helmets of the kings, which were bedecked with jewels that were sources of all brilliance. So, purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. On the Kaurava side, there were many stalwart, that means, you know, very strong commanders like Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and Karna. And their military strength was insurmountable as the great ocean. And yet it was due to Lord Krishna's grace that Arjuna alone, sitting on the chariot, could manage to vanquish them one after another without difficulty. There were many changes of commanders on the other side, but on the Pandava side, Arjuna alone, on the chariot driven by Lord Krishna, could manage the whole responsibility of the great war. Similarly, when the Pandavas were living at the palace, Virat, incognito, the Kauravas picked a quarrel with King Virat and decided to take away his large number of cows. While they were taking away the cows, Arjuna fought with them incognito, that means disguise, and was able to regain the cows along with some booty, that means prizes, taken by force, the jewels set on the turbans of the royal order. Arjuna remembered that all this was possible by the grace of the Lord. Yat pandava kuru valabdim anantuparvam eko ratena tatareham atirya sattvam prajavratam bahudanam cha maya parisham tejas padam mani mayam cha ritam shirom yaha. So Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuram Militam Yenatasmai Shikurave Namaha. So, in Prabhupada's purport, he's making reference both to the battle of Kurukshetra and also to the battle that Arjuna fought defending the kingdom of Virat. And in the verse, specifically, it is referring to Arjuna's defending the kingdom of Virat, so we'll tell that story. So what happened is that, as we mentioned yesterday, Arjuna was cursed by Urvasi to become a eunuch. And he didn't understand why he was being cursed, what the purpose was. And the curse was, of course, reduced to 1 year by Indra, who was Arjuna's father. And Indra explained, this will be very useful for you. And that way, Arjuna was able to become a eunuch for 1 year in the kingdom of Virat and be the dancing teacher of Virat's daughter, Uttara. And his name was Brihanala. And it was important that Arjuna was a eunuch because when they employed people to help with the girls in the palace, they had to be eunuchs. They couldn't have to be regular men or else there would be illicit life. And they would actually test the people to see if they were eunuchs. They would just, I guess, put beautiful girls in front of them and see if they were. And a eunuch, you know, you put a beautiful girl in front of him, he goes, like that. And a regular man, he goes, like we mentioned last night, Ronnie Mukherjee, yeah. So that's a eunuch. Anyway, so Arjuna was the dancing teacher, Kanka, that was Yudhisthira, who was teaching chess to the king of Virat. And you had, of course, Draupadi, she was the Savindari, that means the hairdresser for the queen. And then you had Nakul, Sahadeva, took care of the cows and the horses. And Bhimsen was in his favorite department, the kitchen department. Because he could eat as much as he wanted. And he liked to cook, too. He was a good cook. And no raw food or boiled vegetables for Bhimsen. Everything was cooked in ghee. No oil, either. Anyway, so what happened in the kingdom of Virat? There was this person named Kichika, who was the brother of the queen of Virat. And he was very powerful. He was actually defending the whole kingdom. You know, nobody could defeat him. So he became interested in Draupadi. And he just tried to chase after her. He tried to grab her one time. And everyone was afraid to do anything because he was so powerful. So, and even the other Pandavas, they didn't act to protect Draupadi at that time. So Draupadi was quite upset with the whole thing. So she went to Bhimsen. And while Bhimsen was sleeping one night, she came up and embraced him and said, "Oh, only you love me." It's like a trick. The other ones don't really care. I know you're always protecting me. You're heroic. These other ones, you know, they would let anything happen to me. And, you know, you'll help me. And Bhimsen said, "All right. What can I do?" And she explained the whole situation. And she said, "But don't let Yudhisthira know we're going to do this." Bhimsen said, "You should plan to meet this Kichika at night in the dancing chamber. Tell him you're actually in love with him, but you're afraid of your Gandharva husbands, but they're not going to be there. So you meet, tell him you meet him in the dancing chamber that night and you'll have some loving exchanges and everything like that. But Bhimsen said that actually, I will be there. I will have a sari over my head. So everyone will think I'm you. And I'll kill him." So what happened is that Draupadi went to this Kichika and said, "Oh, you know, I really love you, but it has to be secret. So we'll meet tonight." And Kichika was like, and he got good and drunk, and he was real happy, dressed nicely, you know, put perfume on his body, whatever, you know, combed his hair nicely. So he walked into the dancing chamber and he said, "Are you there, my love?" And Draupadi was actually there. She was underneath the bed or something like that. And Bhimsen was on top of the bed. He had his head covered with a sari, so he couldn't really tell. And she said, "Yes, I'm here. Come here, love." And so this would make a good Bollywood movie. So anyway, so then Kichika walked up, and as he got closer, Bhimsen just took the top of the sari off of his head and said, "Ha." And they had a big fight, of course. And when Bhimsen killed people, it wasn't that he just killed people. He kept punching them after they were dead. It's described in the Mahabharata that he would punch them until they were, it was indistinguishable what used to be the legs or the arms or the head or the eyes. And it was just like a ball of flesh. I mean, that's really tough, isn't it? So he did that to Kichika. They had a fight. At the same time, as we mentioned yesterday, Arjuna, who was playing, Brihanala was playing the drum so nobody would hear what was going on. Everyone thought he was just practicing. And so, and then there was a big lump of flesh. Yuck. And the next day they found this big lump of flesh, and they decided, saw that Kichik was dead, and they thought Draupadi is actually, you know, responsible for this. Ah. And they went to kill Draupadi. They actually were going to kill Draupadi. They were taking her to kill her. And Bhimsen came out like a monster and, you know, just chased them all away. So they were scared of Draupadi, and Draupadi was able to remain there. You know, they were ready to banish her or get rid of her or something like that, because they thought she brought bad fortune to the kingdom. So what happened is that the Kuros, that is Duryodhana and company, they heard that Kichika had been killed, and they sort of thought maybe the only person who could kill him was Bhimsen, so the Pandavas may be there. At the same time, when Kichika is dead, that means that the kingdom will be very weak, because Kichika was the only one who could protect the kingdom. So let's go and take care of two things at one time, you know, conquer the kingdom, steal their cows, and we'll be able to see the Pandavas, because their year of exile, this is the final year of exile, they were incognito, that means they were in disguise, and we discover them being in disguise. They have to go through another 14 years of exile. Ha ha! You won't have to give them back the kingdom. Anyway, even though the Pandavas weren't discovered, they still didn't get back the kingdom. They still have to fight for it. So they were thinking, let's take care of two things. So they made a deal with another king to attack the kingdom of Virat on one side while they were attacking on the other side. So this other king went and attacked the kingdom of Virat, and because Kichika wasn't there, the king of Virat, he decided, you know, I got to fight these people with my army. And what happened is that Kamka, who was actually Yudhisthira, said, I'll go with you, I know how to fight. And actually your cook, Balaba, he's a pretty good fighter too. And they said, Balaba's a cook? We just thought he knew how to eat. And they said, no, don't worry, he's real powerful. So what happened is they all went to fight this king who was attacking the kingdom of Virat. That was everyone except for Brihanala, who was Arjuna. Because they're not going to ask like some sissy, you know, or eunuch to go out and fight. Just won't happen. So they actually went and defeated the king and brought the king back, made the king apologize to the king of Virat. And they were out there. But in the meantime, the Kauravas attacked on the other side, and they were stealing the cows. And so when it was understood they were stealing the cows, there were no soldiers left to fight with them. The only person who was left to fight with them was actually the king of Virat's son, whose name was also Uttara. The daughter was Uttara, the son was Uttara. Anyway, they had the same name somehow or other. And so he was very proud because he was surrounded by all the women there in the palace. And when you find a man who's surrounded by women, sometimes they can start to get really proud. He said, I can defeat the whole Kuru army single-handedly. Like that. Because he wanted to show off for the girls. Isn't it? That was his idea, you know. And his sister said, if you do that, I want you to bring me back some of the cloth from the Kurus. You know, some of the, like they would wear these nice, like, cloths and everything like that, scarves around their neck, for my dolls, you know, because I'd like that. And so he said, no problem, sister, I'll do it. I'll defeat the whole Kuru army. So then Draupadi came forward, and she said, you should actually have Brihanala as your charioteer. And he said, Brihanala? Huh? Yeah, what's going on here? There was no one else to drive his chariot. And so then Draupadi said, no, she is a very good charioteer. And she used to drive the chariot of Arjuna, you know. And so he said, all right, okay. So then they take the chariot, they're going out, and then there's the whole army of Kurus in front of them, which is like an ocean. And this poor boy, you know, he looks at me. He says, Brihanala, turn the chariot around. You know, we're out of here. And Brihanala says, no. Because Arjuna says, no, we're going to fight them. You promised your sister, you got to fight them. And our And then he says, no, no. And then finally, because she won't, or he won't turn the chariot around, he jumps off the chariot and starts running away. And then Arjuna, as Brihanala, runs after him, picks him up, puts him on his shoulders, and puts him in the charioteer's seat and says, now I'm going to fight. And then this poor boy is thinking, Brihanala fighting? You know, oh my God, let me go. And Brihanala, who's actually Arjuna, says, actually, I got something to tell you. I'm Arjuna. And he says, huh? You're Arjuna? And then he describes the whole thing, how he was cursed and how he became a eunuch for 1 year. And actually, at that point, the year was over because Arjuna regained his manhood. He was able to fight. Eunuchs are not that good at fighting. And they had stored all the weapons outside of the kingdom of Virat in a tree. So Arjuna had the son of Virat climb the tree, get the weapons down, and Arjuna got his famous Gandiva bow at that point. But he was still dressed like Brihanala, like an asari or whatever the ladies wore at that time, with long hair. So they went back to the battlefield, and there was this lady, you know, looked like lady, it's actually Arjuna, dressed like that, and this son of Virat, who was driving the chariot, and Arjuna blew his famous concho. And then the Kurus understood, ooh, this is Arjuna. And they said, all right, come on. We got all of us together. There's grandfather Bhishma, Karna, everybody, you know, Duryodhana, Kripa, Drona. And these are all Maharatas. You know, Maharata means that they can fight like practically millions of soldiers at the same time. I forget the exact number. Millions of chariots, elephants, just one person, you know, just takes care of it. And Arjuna was just facing them. So what Arjuna did first is he actually fired his arrows to pay obeisances to his gurus, which is actually the proper thing. And the arrow landed at the feet of the chariot, and the guru said, oh, yeah, we bless you with victory. Bless you with victory, even over us. It was actually nice. That's the thing you got to do. You know, before you fight, you got to get the blessings of your guru to win. Especially if you're fighting with your guru, you need his blessings to defeat him. So Arjuna got the blessings of his gurus, that's Kripa and Drona, and also grandfather Bhishma. And so he started to fight them like that. The fighting went on with his arrows, and Karna, of course, was there, and Arjuna. It was pretty much going on back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But then Arjuna had his weapon where he could put everyone to sleep. It was called Bhagavatam class. It's called the Bhagavatam weapon, you know. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. No, I'm just joking. Where, you know, everyone goes to sleep. You know, one time Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam class and everybody was extremely tired because they had stayed up all the night before and the night before that preparing the temple for Prabhupada's arrival. Prabhupada looked up and everyone in the temple was sleeping. And Prabhupada said, this movement is going on only by Krishna's mercy. You understand? Because everyone was sleeping, how is the movement going to go on? So Arjuna fired this weapon, and everyone basically went to sleep. Except, it's actually mentioned in the Mahabharata, except grandfather Bhishma, he just pretended he was sleeping. You understand? He just pretended he was sleeping. But the rest of them were actually sleeping. So he didn't harm them, they were just sleeping. So he went up to them, and he told the son of Virat, now you go and take their scarf away, everyone's scarf, except for grandfather Bhishma's scarf, and you bring it back to your sister. And so Arjuna was just like really happy. He had defeated the whole Kuru army at that particular point. And so they went back. And before they got back, the other Pandavas had arrived back in the kingdom after defeating the other king. Remember I told that part of the story. And when the king of Virat heard that his son had gone out with Brihanala to fight the whole Kuru dynasty, he was shocked. He said, oh my God, my poor son, he's going to die. You know, there's no question of him fighting the whole Kuru dynasty. But Kanka, who was Yudhisthira, said, there's no problem. As long as he has Brihanala with him, he's all right. And then and then the king was going, huh? As long as he has this impotent eunuch with him, he's all right? What, have you lost your mind? Huh? And, but then it was announced that he's coming back victorious over the whole Kuru dynasty. And then the father was thinking, my son, my son, my son. And Yudhisthira said, it's because of Brihanala. And but the king of Bharat got so angry at that point that he, they were playing with dice at that time. You know, he was a gambling teacher, because Yudhisthira had become expert after losing all those games. He studied a little more, you know. It said when they were in exile, there were some sages who had taught him how to gamble better. So he became really expert. So he was a gambling teacher at that point. That was his weakness, actually, Prabhupada said, for gambling. So the king of Bharat, he threw the dice at Yudhisthira, hit him on the head, because he was so angry. You know, my son won the war, not that stupid Brihanala. Stupid female, you know, man, Brihanala. You know, just don't blaspheme my son. And so Yudhisthira started to bleed. But the thing is that when Yudhisthira bleeds, anyone who causes a drop of his blood to fall to the earth will cause disaster, because he's Dharma. He's the son of Dharma, you know, Yamaraj. So something's called Dharma, 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 Raj. So, you know, that would be hellish. I mean, the whole kingdom of Iran would be destroyed immediately. So Draupadi rushed there immediately. He made sure, you know, just made sure the blood wouldn't touch the ground. And also, she told the other Pandavas, make sure Arjuna doesn't come in right now. Because if he comes in and he sees that Yudhisthira is bleeding and King Bharat caused it, then Arjuna is going to kill the king of Bharat. There's no way he would tolerate Yudhisthira's being hurt. So Arjuna was kept out, and then they just like made sure no blood fell to the ground. And then what happened is that King of Bharat's son, who was also with her, walked in victorious. And his father said, I'm so proud of you, son. You defeated all the Kuru dynasty. And he said, it's because of Brihanala. And the father went, huh? This is crazy. I mean, I think I'm going crazy today. He said, and he ignored the whole thing. So he just thought, this is crazy. And his sister was so proud of him. He gave him all the cloth. And she was so happy about the whole thing. So the next day, because the time of exile had come to pass, was over like that. The next day, the king of Bharat entered his big chamber where he ruled the whole kingdom. And the Pandavas were dressed as the Pandavas then. You know, like Bhimsen was dressed like a king, and Yudhisthira was dressed like a king. And previously, you know, Bhimsen was the cook. You don't want to see a cook with a crown on his head, isn't it? Or Brihanala with a crown on his head. So there's Bharat. He walks in, and he sees these five Pandavas, and he doesn't recognize them as the five Pandavas right away. He thinks the cook is dressed like a king, Brihanala is dressed like a king, my cowherd boy is dressed like a king, my horse boy, is, you know, the guy who takes care of the horse is dressed like a king, and Kanka is dressed like a king. This is crazy! And then his son says, yes, they're actually the Pandavas. And then it was revealed that it was actually the Pandavas. And the Pandavas were discovered living there just by the Kuras, just the moment after the period of time being incognito had passed. And therefore, later on, the king of Bharat, along with his son, joined the Pandavas in the war against the Kurus. He was actually on their side. Of course, they all got killed. The king of Bharat's son, Uttara, the king of Bharat got killed. Practically all, his whole army got killed. Practically everybody got killed in that, from that king, except for his daughter, Uttara, who gave birth to Parikshit, which we told that story yesterday. So that's an interesting story. So that's what this particular verse is referring to. So any questions or comments? Interesting story, isn't it? I think some of you heard the story before. It's a very common story. But It's one of the funniest parts of the Mahabharata. It's interesting about one other thing about the Mahabharata. Like there's 80 different editions of the Mahabharata. I didn't know if you knew this. And some of them have been, actually, we don't know what is the original Mahabharata. We know the story. The story I just told is basically in all the Mahabharatas. But there is a lot of difference in some of the details between the different editions of the Mahabharata. For example, in the North Indian Mahabharata, you have when Parashara Muni meets Satyavati, you know the story, he sees her in the boat and says, okay, let's have a kid. And he creates a fog, and Krishna, Dwaipayana Vyasa is born on an island. But in the South Indian edition of the Mahabharata, they get married. Did you know this? It's interesting, isn't it? So Madhvacharya says that a lot of the sections of the Mahabharata have actually been changed, added to it like that. So the point I'm making is that the literatures that we accept as most authoritative in our Krishna conscious movement are the literatures that have been passed down directly untouched in our disciplic succession, such as the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course the Goswami literatures like that. So when there's a contradiction between the Mahabharata and the Bhagavatam, we always accept the Bhagavatam version of the story. You understand? And that's why also, you know, when people start quoting Vedic literatures and everything like that to try to defeat the devotees, they don't really know what is the original version of that particular Vedic literature, because only the Bhagavatam, practically speaking, only the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and some of the Upanishads we have in their original form. You know, you understand what I mean? So if you look at the history of how it's passed down, and of course the original four Vedas we have in their original form because they were meant to be chanted exactly according to the meter and memorized exactly. But the other literatures, there have been some changes throughout the ages. Not the Bhagavatam and not the Bhagavad Gita. It's an interesting little history there for you about Mahabharata. Madhvacharya said that the Bhagavatam has actually been changed dramatically. Not the Bhagavatam, sorry, the Mahabharata has been changed dramatically. That's Madhvacharya's in his commentary on the Mahabharata. So any other questions? Are there any questions? Comments? No? Nice story. Nice story about Brihadnath. What?
Gauras were defeated so many times.
Yeah.
But they were unable to appreciate the value of Pandavas.
Yeah. I mean, because they were just like greedy. When someone is greedy, it's almost like Yudhisthira playing dice, because he became confused. Of course, he is Yogamaya. He's a pure devotee. But the point is that when one is gambling, one can lose so many times, but next they'll think the next time I'm going to win. I've seen that. When I was on Sankirtan one time, we went to this city in the United States called Las Vegas. Everyone's heard of Las Vegas? It's a gambling city. And you've heard of it probably before. Big, big, famous city. Anyway, so they have these roulette wheels. You know what a roulette wheel is? No. These wheels where you bet. Anyway, I don't need to describe what it is. And they have these machines called one-armed bandits. That is, it's a slot machine. In other words, you put some money in, you go, and little wheels turn. And if it... Does anyone ever seen any of these things? Yeah. You might have them in Fiji. There might be some gambling places, right? It's about to come. Tourism will increase then. And also illicit life, intoxication, meat eating will also increase, and Kali will increase there. So anyway, so they have these machines. So I was there one time, I was watching the people operating these machines, and there was one little old lady, she was operating two machines simultaneously, putting in her money, and then every hour, you know, she wins a little bit, just to encourage her. You know, she's putting in thousands of dollars, and maybe she'll win $100. So the machine is like that. It just encourages you a little bit. You win once in a while. And so she's going, shh, shh. She's putting all her money in. She's not, forgets to eat, sleep, and sometimes they even forget to go to the bathroom or something like that. You know, there's stories of people dying because they get so much, it's a fever. And you don't have any gambling here in Fiji?
No.
No horse races or anything?
Casino is about to come.
Yeah. In America, they have not only horse races, they also have dog races. You've heard of this before? There's this particular type of dog called the greyhound dog, which is a long, sleek, you know, dog that runs fast. You've heard of this, Vrindavan. Vrindavan's more educated than the rest of you. The rest of you are alive, it's 50% wasted. Because you haven't heard of this. So the people go to these big dog races. Big, big place. I mean, there's like 20,000 people watching dogs run. And they bet who will be first, who will be second, who will be third. And they pay so much money, and they're cheering, you know, go dog, go, go. Of course, the dogs have names. It's not just dog. It's go, go, you know, John or whatever the dog's name is, you know.
Gold.
Tommy or, you know, whatever the dog, you know, they or Speedy, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I've never gone to a dog race. But I know in the city of Miami, they have a dog racing place. And so the people get in this fever because they think they're going to win, even though obviously, you know, 99% of them lose, or else the company would go out of business. Mm-hmm. And also, in the here in Fiji, you do have a lotto, don't you? A lottery. You do have. Okay, a lottery is where the government runs something, and they sell tickets. You don't have that here. You do have it here in Fiji, right?
And you.
What?
It's an Australian company.
Oh, Australian company. And usually the government runs it to make money for education or something like that. They think it's a good cause. So people are buying all these tickets, and then you read about someone, oh, he won $10 million. You've seen that? And then everyone's buying the tickets, spending. Even it's interesting that the people who buy the most tickets in gambling are the poorest people. Not the rich people. The rich people don't do that. They have business and other things to do. But the poor people, they gamble more in that sort of way. But people are thinking they're going to win. It's like a fever they get into. So it's the same thing with the corals. You asked the question about the corals. They get into a fever, you know. We're going to win this time. We're going to win. Yeah, maybe Bhim Sen wasn't poisoned that time. Maybe we couldn't kill them in the, you know, in the house of Lak. Yeah. Maybe we couldn't defeat Arjuna in the kingdom of Rat. That's all right. This time we're going to win. Isn't it? So it's like when one's in the mode of passion and ignorance, you just don't see reality. That, you know, and, you know, obviously you just, you know, it's crazy. Just like, and Krishna, God is on their side. Everybody knows Krishna is God. Because before the battle of Kurukshetra, what happened is that Krishna tried to make peace between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And the Kauravas tried to capture Krishna. And then Krishna just showed his universal form. So there was no doubt that Krishna was God. I mean, if you had any doubt before, when someone shows the universal form, your doubt is gone, right? I mean, such a Sai Baba cannot show a universal form. He could just make a little bit of ashes come out for some asses. Right? I won't say that publicly. Anyway. Yeah. That's it. I mean, so he's God. You know God's on their side. So how do you think you're going to win? I mean, you could have all the atomic bombs in the world, but if God's on the other side, you're not winning. You could be alone fighting with God, and you can defeat the whole universe. Right? God is not just like a magician. I was actually just reading, there was some research that people think that God is just, this is an interesting thing, it has nothing to do with class, but it's funny anyway, that people think that God, some of the scientists think that, you know, actually there's no God, but there were some like aliens from outer space who came down a few thousand years ago. You heard about this before? And, you know, there was a big guy there, you know, with a beard and everything like that. And therefore, that's why people think there's a God, because he was actually one of the aliens. And they even talk about in the Bible how, you know, when the in the Old Testament how the Ten Commandments were given. So there was a statement to Moses that God said, you know, before I come down and give you the Ten Commandments, make sure nobody's around because they're going to be burnt up by the, you know, the fire. So they said, well, that means there was a spaceship landing. There's no God. It's just like people from another planet. Interesting, isn't it? There's this whole speculation. You ever heard of this, Vrindavan? There's people from another planet. Anyway, we know there's people from other planets. They're demigods. And some of them, some planets, they may have spaceships. Like the demons, they have spaceships. Like Salva. But mostly the demigods, they don't. Their carriers are not really like ships, so per se. Like Brahma's on a swan or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit different. But anyway, I mean, God is God. He can do anything he wants. But still, they were so stupid, they thought they could win. That's stupidity, isn't it? Greed, stupidity. I mean, they knew. Vidura was telling them all along. Dhritarashtra knew, but he just couldn't say no to his son. You know, can you imagine? They're just captured in the emotions. I think we have to end now, right? Yeah, kama, esha, krodha, esha, rajaguna, samudvama. They're just captured. Avatam gyanametena gyani no nichavayana. That's a statement in Bhagavad Gita. They're covered. Their jnana, their knowledge is covered. Avatam gyanametena gyani no nichavayana. Kama rupena. By lust. Dushparena alena cha. And it's just burning them, making them stupid. You know, if someone's lusty, they get so stupid. Like we were telling the other day, you know, when people fall in love, they get so stupid. It's incredible that, you know, you may have studied this. I mentioned this last time to many people, that when people are in love, if they do a brain scan of the person, it's the same thing as if they're snorting cocaine. That's why sometimes these love marriages don't work very well. Because it's, you know, you fall in love with someone. And you don't even think, you know, what, can they make money and support me? You know, the girl doesn't think like that. You know, you have to think practically when you're having arranging marriages, isn't it? Is he educated? Is he as intelligent as me? So some girl falls in love with some wrestler, you know, some intelligent girl. You know, some less intelligent girl, because she just falls in love. And then 6 months later, she discovers she's married to a gorilla. That's what love does, isn't it? Therefore, in the Vedic system, we have marriages where the parents are involved in making the arrangements. Children can also say no. See, we were talking about this the other day, not here. That if the parents just force, that doesn't work either. That's not a good scene, because then we had some cases where the parents forced the boy to get married, and then he went to commit suicide, or wanted to commit suicide because he didn't want to marry the girl. I mean, there's so many cases like that. People actually commit suicide. But so there has to be a combination. There's arrangement of the parents, and the person has to, you know, like the person they're getting married to at the same time. It has to be practical, and there has to be some attraction. Otherwise, you know, the parents arrange some marriage, and you get married, you come to the ceremony, you look at the guy. Yuck! You know, I got to live with him for 50 years? Sometimes I tell... Just one final thing. Sometimes I tell people when they're getting married, before you decide to get married to someone, look at your wife's mother. Because that's what your wife will look like 20 years from now. And if you can't bear it, don't get married. And of course, the woman should look at the father of the husband, your prospective husband. That's what your husband's going to look like. You know, right now he looks real strong and muscular, but he's going to be, you know, this big and a big belly and everything. If you want to be with that 20 years from now, then go ahead. All right, I think we have to.